This is John Erling. Today's date is March 25th, 2010. Dr. Coates, if you will state your full name, your date of birth, and your present age.
My name is John Albert Coates. The date of birth, December 31, 1925.
We're recording this interview in my home here in Tulsa. Where were you born?
Gary, G-E-A-R-Y, Oklahoma.
Where is that?
West of El Reno, about 30 miles, 60 miles west of Oklahoma City.
Let's talk about your mother. Mother's maiden name, where she was from?
Her name is Grace Blanche Spencer. She was born in Iowa, a small place called Lamona, Iowa, 1895.
She grew up there then?
Yes, she grew up there and came to Oklahoma in her late teens.
What brought her to Oklahoma?
A brother had moved to this small town out west of Oklahoma City, and she followed her brother to work down there in this small town.
Then your father's name?
My father was Arthur Albert Coates.
And he was born?
He was born in Madison, Wisconsin, October the 4th, 1878.
He grew up in Madison?
Grew up in Madison. Left there as a teenager to move to Rolla, Missouri, where he opened a bakery. Built that bakery up into a prosperous business and sold it. Moved to Heavener, Oklahoma, and did the same thing. Built that bakery up successfully. In 1901, then, he moved to Oklahoma City and did the same thing. His father was in business with him. His father died in 1910. So he left Oklahoma City, sold that bakery, and moved to Gary, Oklahoma, where he opened a bakery there. It was his fourth one. And he had $118,000 saved up, which he put in the Oklahoma City savings and loan. And I recall when I was 5 years old, the great crash, he got 4 cents on the dollar from that investment, which sort of broke his heart.
As a matter of fact, I want to come to that and visit with you about that. So then, obviously, your father and your mother met there then. Did she come into the bakery, or how did this come about?
He purchased a bakery in which my mother worked.
That's how they got
acquainted. So they were married a year or two later. They were married in 1924.
Did you have brothers or sisters?
One half-sister, who was a great fan of yours.
Oh, really?
And she has a picture signed by you on her dresser, and she had reminded me of that.
Yeah?
Never missed a John Erling program. Mildred Owings was her name.
You married in what year?
October the 20th, 1956.
And your wife's name?
Mary Emma Daly, D-A-I-L-E-Y.
And where was she from?
She was born in Eddyville, Nebraska, moved to Oklahoma as a child with her parents. Her mother died when she was five, so she lived with her father then. There were three sisters, so the eldest sister raised her, so to speak. She lived in Hera, Oklahoma, with her grandmother for a number of years, east of Oklahoma City.
How did you meet?
She was a nurse at St. Anthony Hospital in Oklahoma City, the prettiest one there, by the way. I was an intern there in July of 1955.
You had children from that marriage?
Five children. John Arthur Coates, Christopher Thomas Coates, Patrick Edward Coates, Stephen Michael Coates, and Elizabeth Coates. One girl. The eldest, 50 years old, and the youngest, 38.
Let's go back to when you were a child. The first house you remember.
I was born at home. Dr. John Browning came there, and I was delivered on New Year's Eve, so everyone celebrates my birthday. His name was John Browning, so he asked my father, "Are you naming him after me?" And my father said, "No, we're naming him for a brother, John, who was killed in the Civil War." And he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, because if you named him for me, there would be no charge for the delivery." So my dad paid cash, $25, for the delivery, and the doctor replied, "This is the first time in my life I've ever been paid for my work on the day that I did it."
So then you grew up in that house?
I grew up in that house. We just had the one home that my father built there, and it's still there.
You have childhood memories of that house and things that you might have done or children you played with?
Oh, yes. Now, most of the children in that particular neighborhood were friends of mine, and we played all sorts of things out in our garden, which is north of the home. I recall walking to school when I was 6 years old. A man had been injured seriously, and was lying on the street with his head caved in. I recall seeing that. I heard the family physician there in town sent him to Oklahoma City to Dr. Harry Wilkins, neurosurgeon. And I thought, my, can you imagine repairing that? How difficult would that be? And the local doctor here can't do anything like that. So this fellow must really be a miracle worker. That stuck with me. I never dreamed at the moment that I'd be studying with him later and become a neurosurgeon in Oklahoma City.
But at 6 years old...
I was 6 years old when that occurred.
Seed was planted, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did that stay with you?
That sort of stayed with me. Yes, it did, and I thought it over. In World War II, while I was in the U.S. Navy, I met a dermatologist by the name of Silverstein, a captain in the U.S. Navy. He invited me to come over and make rounds with him at the hospital, and I took an interest there in the Philippine Islands in 1944.
And I'm going to come to that, too. So let's go back here to your first school. What was the name of your first school?
Willard Grade School in Gary, Oklahoma. I started there when I was five in kindergarten. I started a little early because I didn't turn six until December 31. That school year, I would have been five.
In 1930. Mm-hmm. So your experience in grade school, what was that like for you?
Lillian Sisney was my first teacher there, lovely lady who taught us well. It was a well-disciplined school. Another Delka Seaters, I remember that lady in the second grade. The superintendent was Mr. Ludwig Hove, H-O-V-E. The principal was a gentleman named Stiegel. And they were both wrestling coaches. So we had one of the finest wrestling teams in the country, in Gary, Oklahoma. Many Olympic wrestlers came from there, out of that program.
So your elementary experience was good, and then you go on to junior high school, all in the same system there, didn't you?
Yes.
You were a good student. Did you like school?
Yes, I was always at least a B-plus student, often A's. I was interested in music. We had a band leader that came there in 1939 that taught me a great deal about playing the trumpet. A year or so after he came, I entered the state contest playing the trumpet and won first in state. I was a junior in high school at that time.
Did you continue playing trumpet in your life?
Yes, I played trumpet and I had a scholarship to the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music through contest. And
you must have been pretty good then. You must have been pretty accomplished.
I had a scholarship there, and I went there when I was 17, June of 43. I was there until December 31 of 43 when I was drafted into the armed forces.
You were an accomplished musician at that time.
Well, yes. This particular band leader, Mr. Don McCarter, inspired us all to work hard and study and practice, and I enjoyed it. So I really thought about music as a profession.
So in high school, this scene that you came upon when you were 6 years old and you saw that man's brain bashed in.
Yes.
Did that linger with you? Yes. Did you think about that in high school?
Yes, I've never forgotten it.
So then you were thinking about what am I going to do with my life? And you're a musician. Were you weighing different professions or what were you doing?
Well, when I got this scholarship to school, I thought I'll go there and we'll see how things go. During that summer of 43, the Metropolitan Opera put on a nightly opera at the Cincinnati Zoo, and we could go for the grand sum of 10 cents per night. So we went every night through the summer of 43 to the Metropolitan Opera productions. There I met a conductor named Foster Clave with the Metropolitan Opera, and he invited us to come to rehearsals. And at these rehearsals, he was singing in European solfeggio. This is very difficult. It's called the movable do system. Normally, if you're in the key of C, do is C and remains as such. In this particular European solfege system, whatever key you're playing in, do is the key. If you're in the key of F, F is do. If you're in the key of A flat is do. So you've got to alternate this. And ascending the scale, there's a different syllable that you sing than descending the scale. So C-sharp and D-flat are sung as two different syllables. This is a difficult system to say.
Yeah.
And I heard Foster Clava correcting them and singing them in European solfeggio. I thought, my, this is really something. I got interested in that, and then I got interested in opera.
Were you singing too?
Yes, I was singing. In fact, we sang on the weekends at the synagogue for $50 every time we met. I enjoyed that immensely. That was like 50 days pay in that particular time. Hmm. We used to get $1 a day working when I was a boy.
You were singing and playing the trumpet?
I was doing that.
And you were having a good time, weren't you?
I was having a great time.
The conservatory. Was that part of your high school?
I graduated from high school when I was 17 because I entered school when I was 5, graduated when I was 17. And having received that scholarship that summer, June, I went to Cincinnati.
Okay, after you graduated from high school.
From high school in Gary.
That year was 1943.